You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now present the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So what we're going to do today is we're going to begin, as we always do, in prayer, and we're going to be using a supplication found in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 31. It's the soul us to the glorious Queen, our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to be here. We thank God above all. We thank Radio Maria for this opportunity. And we're just so grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually. And we truly are blessed to be alive at this time. We're going to go to Italy right now. Hello, Mother. Hello, sisters.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Hi, Peter.
Everything. We woke up. How can we complain?
Yeah,
there's no such thing as a bad day anymore, Mother. You know that. Some days are better than others, but there's no bad days.
Right. Every day is good, even though some days are bad or worse than others. But those bad days are also the greatest gifts, probably, because the more crosses we have, the greater the gift, the greater the blessing, you know. So you could look at every day as a wonderful day in that light, you know, that God gives us those blessings of the cross that transforms us and makes us more like him, you know. So
that's true. You know, the more obstacles we have, the more spiritual agility that we sort of learn and cultivate to be able to navigate through these these situations. You know, God's permissible will is so mysterious. And again, he allows nothing to happen unless he's going to help bring a greater good out of it. If we cooperate, it's all about cooperation.
You know, it's like practice makes perfect. You practice an instrument, you get better and better at it. The more crosses you experience, the easier the crosses become too. You know, you can take more. The more you get, the more you can take in the future. And so that's another good benefit of the cross, that you become stronger spiritually, you know, to be able to handle more in the future. I was just reading here, volume 36, July 6, 1938. Our Lord tells Luis, he says, "You must know that my love reaches the point of excess. As a creature does her own acts in my will, I call in each act all of my acts." So when you do one act in his divine will, he calls all of his acts into your one act that you just did. All possible imaginable acts that we have done, even the very generation of the word done by the Holy Spirit, the whole creation and my incarnation in time, everything in that act, we enclose everything to be able to say it is our act, a complete act. Nothing can miss. And the creature must be able to say, in your will, everything is mine. And I give you everything, even my very self. Therefore, our glory and love echoes in all our works, gathering everything. It pours even into our divine womb. Oh, how sweet it is to hear everything resound with glory and love to our Creator. But who gives us the opportunity to receive so much glory? The one who lives in our will. After a while, he added, "My daughter, as the creature calls my will in her acts, in her prayer, my will repeats that act together with her, praying together with the creature. And since its immensity is everywhere, the creation, the sun, the all heaven, the angels and the saints feel within themselves the strength of that creative prayer. And all of them pray. The prodigy of this prayer is omnipotent, and it involves all. given itself to all. Only those who are ungrateful don't want to receive it remain without its effects. Therefore, my will possesses the virtue of prayer. Oh, how beautiful it is to see it praying in its divine way and with its creator that imposes itself on all, making everything pray. So as you do an act in divine will, our Lord puts everything in that act of divine will because it's all one. It's like a drop in the ocean, drop of water thrown in the ocean. Your little act is in like that drop in the ocean. That's all of the divine acts ever done. And every soul, our Lord says, every soul is touched by that act that you have done, which includes all acts in divine will, as much as they're open to it. So your little act in divine will, embracing all acts done in divine will, goes around the world to touch each soul if they're open to it. This prayer imposes itself on our divine attributes, making us pour rains of mercy, graces, forgiveness, and love. It is sufficient to know that it is our prayer to say it can give everything. Now, you must know that whether the creature does or does not do our will, whether she lives in it or not, she's already in its immensity. Or, better still, my will is life of her life, an act of her acts, and it continuously assists her in its, with its creative and preserving act. Therefore, one who lives in it can feel its life, its power, its sanctity, and how much I love her. So the divine will is everywhere. It's before us, behind us, under us, everywhere around us, in all creation, in everything we see is divine will. And so we have to realize we're in the immensity of divine will. Whether people believe all of these writings, whether they embrace it or not, they cannot live without God's divine will. His divine will is the greatest thing. His divine will willed everything. He said his divine will is greater than redemption because his will willed redemption. His will willed his mercy. His will willed creation. So his will is greater than creation. Without his will, there would be no creation. There would be no redemption. There would be nothing. So his divine will is the greatest. And we just, you know, what a great privilege to be able to embrace this gift, to live it, to read these volumes, to live by these truths, and to believe it, to desire it.
That's true. And, you know, really, mother and sisters, to live in exile is not a physical displacement of some foreign place. We can be in our comfort of our home and still be in exile. The exile actually is when we're not living in God's most holy divine will. And that was the plan. That was the intent of God's creation. It was an overflow, excess of his love. And we were to love him, to know him, and to serve him. And again, once we on the level due to him, I think that's the delineation there, that we can do that now, but not on the level of God, due to God, owed to God. I mean, think about, you know, we're so conscious of when we owe a debt to somebody, a financial debt to somebody, that we have to pay it. Otherwise, we're going to have a bad credit rating, or we're going to get some other nefarious things happen to us. But with God, you know, we never think about the debt that we owe him. And he's not looking for money. But it's the ingratitude that he, in his humanity, that he suffered so much. And nobody said thank you. Perfect example, the 10 lepers, one came back. Where are the other nine? Weren't there 10 healed? I mean, to say thank you, whether it be subliminally, whether it be vocally, if we can't speak vocally, again, we can do it mentally. It's free. It's easy. It takes very little effort. But yet we are so inclined to forget it. And that's really what I think what we have to learn to be more thankful in things. And God's going to be happy. Aren't we here to make God happy? And it doesn't take much, unlike us.
Yeah, right. And the Lord just wants to keep giving us more and more, even despite our ingratitude. It's really incredible. And what makes him happy is allowing him to fill ourselves with himself. And I just wanted to read a passage that I read the other day that I thought was beautiful. It was from Christmas Day, December 25th, 1931, from volume 30. It was a passage about when Our Lady took Jesus in her arms for the first time, and how she's the perfect image of what man was supposed to be. The intention that God had when he created man, she did it perfectly. And that's the model we're supposed to follow. So I just wanted to read that passage. Jesus tells Louisa, "Dearest daughter, you must know that as soon as I brought myself forth from my mama's womb, I felt the need of divine love and affection. I left my heavenly Father in the heavens. And since we love each other with a love that is fully divine, everything that passed among the three divine persons was divine. Affections, sanctity, power, and all the rest. Now, I did not want to change my ways when I came to earth. My divine will prepared a divine mother for me, so that I had a divine father in heaven and a divine mother on earth. And as soon as I come forth from my mother's and as soon as I came forth from my mother's womb, I felt a deep need for these divine affections, and I ran into my mama's arms to receive her divine love as the first food, breath, and act of life for my tiny humanity. And she brought forth seas of divine love that my fiat had formed in her, and she loved me with divine love, as my father loved me in heaven. And oh, how happy I was. I found my paradise in the love of my mama. When mother was speaking before, how God wants to put in the simple little act of creature, you know, his entire divine will, his act and all of the acts it contains. I thought of this passage that I had chosen because that's what God created us to be, receptacles of his love. Receptacle kind of sounds like a negative word, but just like these containers of his love, because he wanted to find in us that same love that the Trinity shares among themselves. That's what we were created for. And that's the perfect model that Our Lady gives us. And the other thing that I thought of was, why was Our Lady able to do this perfectly? Yes, she was born without original sin. And everything that she was, you know, she attributes, like we pray in the Magnificat, to God. But it was also her receptivity, her let it be done. And I think we have to learn how to do that more. We're very attached to our human will, even with all of our good intentions, even in the good that we try to do and that we want to do, even though the Lord honors those good intentions. A lot of times we're taking that first step on our own. We put a pressure on ourselves that God doesn't put on us, or maybe we feel the pressures of others. We feel like we need to control and take charge. And when I read this passage and I was praying with it, I felt like the Lord was just saying, you know, let it be done. And how do we do that? You know, we have to, I mean, the Lord does it in us, but we have to give him the opportunity in our lives. We have to give him silence. You know, how little silence do we have in our lives? How little silence do we have even in our prayers? Even in our prayer, we try to take over. At least I know that's one of my struggles, but just kind of be silent in prayer. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord to speak. Be patient when he's silent. And just allow him to take charge. And it's very, very powerful. Just something really quick. When I was in Medjugorje, that was one of the profound graces that I feel like our Lord gave me when I was going up Cross Mountain and I was getting ready to do the Stations of the Cross. I felt a little interior pressure, like, well, I've got to pray this well. I have got to meditate on the Lord's passion well. And the Lord was just like, just be silent. I don't want you to think of anything. I just want you to go up, look at the stations, and that's it. And the Lord just came through so perfectly, because with me not thinking of anything, he was putting the prayers into my mind. He was putting the prayers into my heart. And for me, it was like a little lesson. And maybe, you know, somebody out there might also need that same lesson, that it's okay that we don't have to have control. It's okay that we don't have the right prayers and the right words. In that silence, the Lord can do so much, because that's really what living in the divine will is. It's allowing him to take control, and like Our Lady, letting him to do it in us. And like in this passage, that doesn't mean that we're not doing anything. We're responding. And that's really super important. Just like Our Lady responded with her gratitude, with the milk that she gave back to Jesus. And that's what he wants us to do. Let him do it in us, and then us respond with that gratitude and that love and whatever it is he's asking us to do. Because the beautiful thing about that silence is that he makes his voice heard more clearly. And then with more peace and more calm, we know what he wants of us. And with his grace, we can carry it out.
And to respond is not difficult, I think, if we're in the proper state of mind. If we're constantly remembering God, if we're constantly thinking of God. I'm not talking about when we're driving, we come to an intersection, you know, God's in your mind, you lose track of where you are. But everything should be a thank you, give thank you to God. I mean, my mother talks about the rounds. We have the rounds that Louisa has that were given to her by Jesus. And then we have the impromptu rounds everywhere we are, looking around. Thank you, Lord, for the trees. Thank you for the sky. Thank you for this automobile to get me to work so that I may make an income so I can feed and take care of my family. All of this is a blessing. I mean, could any of us build a car by ourselves single-handedly? Can any of us build a road? Can any of us construct a job that's going to be beneficial enough to feed our family. No, all of this is grace and graces. And again, there are many that do not possess the grace and graces that we have. So again, we have opportunity to give thanksgiving of what we have, and also to give thanksgiving to those who don't have, and for their demeanor. I mean, not to lose hope, to have faith, to have confidence, to have trust. In fact, sometimes I've learned in life to have less is best. Back to you, mother and sisters.
Hello, everybody. Yeah, just it's true. Sister Francesca mentioned about receptacle. And I immediately think about a reading that I read, a passage. I don't remember where exactly that is, but it's just basically Jesus told us that all of our acts offered in divine will, these are the shelf. It's like God's space to do his act in divine will. Because if I do this certain act and I offer this in divine will and I intended with the desire to do this in divine will for love of God, then this becomes the receptacle. Our body becomes receptacle. Our desires become receptacle. And this act itself is the shelf to where God can put it in there. It's beautiful. And then Mother mentioned earlier about, you know, how the divine will is everything. You know, even it can bring in acts from the past, present, and future. And I have a passage here from April 10, 1938. And I'll summarize this. Basically, Luisa was asking Jesus, you know, I would like to love you just like Blessed Mother loves you. You know, everything that Blessed Mother did to you, I did for you. And Jesus says, oh, that's good. I'm happy for you. I want you to be united with the Mother. But that is not enough. I'm like, oh, really? And then Jesus says, I want you to be united with the Eternal Father and the Holy Spirit. I'm like, wow, this is profound, you know? And I thought myself, if I didn't read the divine will, I would have immediately think this is impossible and this is heresy. But then a passage from the scripture reminded me, John 15, where the vine and the branches, you know, where Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And the branches that are separated from me, they are worth to be thrown out and burnt. So truly, this is not heresy. This is really the Lord not only wanting us to do some acts in union with the Blessed Mother, but with the Father and the Holy Spirit, because Jesus, Father, and the Holy Spirit are one. And this goes to the prayer. I will just continue with the prayer that Luisa did, and we also do in our community, Provenient Act in the Morning, and then how Jesus responded to this prayer. And this is Luisa praying and telling to Jesus, I love you with the immense power and love of the Father and with the endless love of the Holy Spirit. I love you with the love with which all the angels and saints love you. I love you with that love with which all the creatures, past, present, and future, love you or should love you. I love you for all created things and with the same love with which you created them. This is so beautiful. And then this is Jesus' reply to her. Finally, I feel satisfied in my yearning to find everything in the creature. I find our endless seas of love. I find the delights of my loving mama. I find everything and everyone. Therefore, I must find everything and everyone in the creature who lives in my will, and I must find her in everyone. After all, my celestial Father generated me through love. So I feel together with me in the act of giving and receiving continuous love, those who love me and let nothing of our love escape them. So this is a cycle of love, God giving us love and returning to God love. You know, I'll tell you a little story. You know, yesterday I was really out of sorts. I was not feeling well at all. I couldn't pray. I was falling asleep all the time. I was a mess yesterday. And then a miracle happened. A little bird came to the garden, and it was like a tiny little bird that needed a mother. Sister Jacinta named her Mary Bell, which in Italian, Maria Bella, beautiful Mary, because she came at the feast of our Maria Gorete. And you know, when that bird came and I distracted from my own problem, from my own misery, and I gave love to this bird and I forgot about it. And I thought to myself, this is one way God loving me. You know, these are little things that we really need to pay attention. Talking about attentiveness. This was one way God was sort of kind of comforting me and saying, okay, now forget about yourself. Take care of this bird and this bird can love you back. And the bird last night did not want to eat. So I was worried this morning that I might die. And mother said, well, take it to the vet. Maybe the vet can do something. But the vet is so far away and we don't have really plenty of sisters here that can drive, and we're so much things to do, catch up. And so I said, you know, so I talked to the bird, you better eat or I will take you somewhere. And I prayed to God and Lord, please. And I did my rounds. You know, I love you for the sake of the bird. I love you. I glorify you. Thank you. And the bird all of a sudden started eating. You know, mother helped me with the bird, feeding the bird with the water, hydrated it. But, you know, the bird is now thriving. So that's just an example, a testimony of how really true it is when we really just offer everything to God. Even a dying bird can survive. But it's offering our I love you, I glorify, I thank you for the bird. Not only for the bird, for the souls in the past, the present, and the future. There's no timeline in God.
That's right. And, you know, animals, it's really interesting to go back to, you know, the original design of Adam and Eve. You know, everyone was in harmony. There was no eating each other. There's no devouring of other species. And when Adam and Eve fell from grace, it's as if all of creation received a pink slip. They lost their job. They couldn't help Adam and Eve give glory to God on the level of God. So they were basically out of a job and they rebelled. They went against man, really. And that's why we have tsunamis, we have earthquakes, we have, you know, animals that devour each other. But all this is going to come. I mean, the sheep are going to lie with the lion. It's going to go back. We're on our way back right now. We just have to, again, like Sister Francesca said, we have to cooperate. God can take us back here. But if we keep screaming and pushing and keeping our feet down and stopping the bicycle from going forward, we're not going to get there. We're going to get there a lot slower. We just need to relax a little bit. And again, I think it was you, Sister Magdalena, that said, we need to enjoy the little things. That bird, that relationship you had with that bird, it may sound silly, but that probably was so important to you at that time that God placed that bird in your life. Again, there's no coincidences with God and with his holy mercy. Beautiful. Thank you for that reflection. Mother, sisters.
Yeah, I don't know before the break, I don't know how much time we have, but, you know, those little things that God sends our way, all the little gifts, you know, for us to forget ourselves. You know, I was just reading the other day in the Divine Will, the only way you can live totally in the Divine Will is to be totally forgetful of self. And so just thinking of God, finding him everywhere, like you said, in all creation, in nature, in everyone around you, to see him everywhere and to stop looking and seeing ourselves, but seeing him. That's how we get our joy. We were happy when we forget ourselves. But, you know, it's not easy to do because we're always coming back home, mm-hmm. coming back home to ourselves, me, myself, and I, you know. But go to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the earth, the Holy Trinity rather than the earthly Trinity, and dwell there with him. And that's how we can come to live in divine will totally. It takes effort on our part to let go. Like Sister was saying, when we try too hard, we close the door to God. But if we relax, let him pray within us, let him do everything in and through us, then he can do it. But when we get uptight and think and struggle to do it ourselves, we fumble, you know, we fall here and there. You know, I was just talking to a lady just now, and she was saying that how, she was praying the rosary in divine will. And all of a sudden, it was like she didn't pray the rosary at all. But when she finished, she had finished the whole rosary, but she doesn't remember praying the rosary. Mm. It was like the Holy Spirit took over, prayed the rosary within her, and she was not aware of praying at all. That was Cindy. You know, she said, not aware of praying the rosary at all. So, you know, I think more and more as we forget ourselves, God takes over. And that's what contemplative prayer is. You're sitting there and, you know, it may be an hour and you come to and you weren't sleeping because your head wasn't drooping or, you know, and it's like, it feels like it was just 15 minutes and the hour is up. That's contemplation. God did it. God did it. He did the prayer in you, you know, and that's what happened with this lady with the rosary.
That's a beautiful story. Yeah, I think we've all experienced that where, you know, we say that the phrase time flies. You know, it's interesting too, Mother. Sister Magdalena was saying about when she first was introduced to the divine will. I mean, it almost seems so good to be true. And some of us have said, oh my goodness, it's almost like borderline heresy. I mean, we're just in the wake of St. Thomas, the apostle feast on Sunday, and doubting Thomas. And, you know, doubting always has a pretty bad rap to it. It's always very negative, but actually doubting can be very positive. You know, doubting just in essence means we're not content with it. If it's a proper doubt, we're not content with ourselves. You know, we must go beyond our natural instinct. And that's what you mentioned, Mother, about being contemplative. Contemplative prayer is a gift. It's a mystical gift that engages, so to speak, after we've maximized our meditation, because we have a finite level of meditation. Contemplation is infinite. That's where we understand and are taught the language of heaven. And that takes time. And God says he's been very patient. He says to Luis, it's been 6,000 years since he's been cultivating us, giving us all the resources we need, all the bounce offs to be able to counter all those doubts that we have, all those inquisitions, all those inquiries that we're making to this gift. And he tells Louisa, it's over. Everything's done. It's completed. We finally arrived. And now he's going to take us back to the other side. Finally.
Listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to thank, again, we thank God above all for everything. We also want to thank Radio Maria for this opportunity to bring the divine will to you, especially through the School of Mary. You know, we're talking about doubting Thomas and about doubting, you know, being good sometimes, because it drives us to learn more. And of course, the more we learn about the divine will, the more we're going to fall in love with God. And the more we fall in love with God, the more we're going to serve God. And the more we want to serve God, we're going to recognize through the Book of Heaven that the greatest way to serve God is to really exercise our human will to defer it and receive back God's most God. Divine will. You know, Mother, also it, you know, when we're talking about doubting and through that process of what we use to examine something, like, for example, let's say the divine will, you know, we have to be careful not to depend on others, but we have to be able to take advice from what we consider sensible people. You know, people that are understanding of the divine will. Again, nobody knows it perfectly, but everybody has a little bit of a different view of color regarding it. But, you know, we've got Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters. We have Father B. Thomas Celsa. We've got Reverend Father Joseph Leo Iannuzzi. We've got a whole host. We've got those who have passed also, John Olin Brown, Father John Olin Brown, Father Robert Young. So, you know, God has given us this plethora of resources to go to and to utilize to help enrich us. And again, take the advice of sensible people and never treat any useful advice lightly. Contemplate, just like Paul says, investigate. You know, those doubts can be positive. And honestly, the more doubts we have about the divine will, the more affirmed we're going to be that this is the greatest gift that God can give to mankind. Actually, really quick, in The Son of My Will, the biography of Luisa, written, published by the Vatican Publishing Company in 2015, in the conclusion section in the back of the book, which is usually where the conclusion is, it states, quote, "This gift of the divine will does appear to be the greatest gift that God can give to mankind," end quote. That's what it says, published by the Vatican. But then the caveat to that is, but it is available to everybody, but it does require a leap into the extraordinary, a leap into the mystical. You have to have trust. You have to have faith. You have to have confidence. You have to believe and allow God to prove it. Don't disprove it before God has an opportunity to prove it. Mother, sisters?
Yeah, God is simple. We have to be simple. You know, we're also listening to Frances Hogan, where she's got some wonderful teachings on all the different volumes, you know, and we listen to that sometimes at mealtime. But yeah, you know, it's such a great gift. It's too good to miss out on. So I encourage everybody, embrace it, find it. You can find it all over internet. You know, there's ways of getting the books. Spend time every day on a daily basis, and you'll find how much your life will change.
Yesterday, I was reading volume 23, and here it talks about Our Lady and how she laid the foundation of the kingdom of the divine will. And it really...
We seem to have lost the audio from Italy. Always dependent on electronic communication, and sometimes it does fail us. So as we wait for Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters to reconnect with us, you know, we're talking about, you know, about doubting, about allowing God to prove this gift to be the greatest gift. You know, we just look at it platonically. I mean, the first 19 volumes carry the church's imprimatur, nihil obstat. And the reason why it hasn't gone further than that is because obviously St. Hannibal de Francia passed away before he was able to actually experience the last 18 or so volumes. Okay, I think we're back now with Mother Gabriel.
Okay.
Oh, actually, it's Sister Gloria that was speaking.
Hi, can you hear me? Yes. It starts raining really hard here.
Yeah, oh, okay. No, we can hear you now. Yeah. Hi, Sister Gloria.
Okay. I don't know. I'll start from the beginning. I was reading today the volume 23, October 16, 1927. And here this passage, it talks about Our Lady, how she laid the foundation of the kingdom of the divine will. And it really encouraged me and gave me like hope, because it really says that we are not alone here with this. And Our Lady is here with us. You know, she really wants it more than we do to live in the divine will. And she's there for our help. A great help. And this is the passage. "More so, since the sovereign Queen of Heaven is the only and sole one in the glory, in the celestial, the only and sole one, she formed her whole life in my will. And a mother loves and wants for her children to possess her same glory. And she in heaven cannot communicate all her glory and greatness and sovereignty that she possesses, because she does not find anyone who has lived her same continuous life in the divine will. Therefore, she longs for the children of its kingdom, so as to have all her glory be reflected in them, and be able to say, I have my children who equal me in my glory. Now I am happier because my glory is the same glory as my children's. The happiness of a mother is more that of her children than her own. More so for the celestial mother, who in my will, more than mother, conceived all the redeemed ones and formed the very life of the children of my divine will. So really, on the outer appearance, it may seem that Our Lady's whole interest was redemption, but actually her interiorly all was for the divine will, because she knew all the values of the living in the divine will, and she knew about the complete glory for God that would bring, and the complete goodness, the good for the creatures. So she laid the foundation of the kingdom of the divine will by obtaining the redemption. And a mother really wants the best for her children, and her happiness is the happiness of her children. And that's why she really wants us to possess the same glory. She wants us to be little gods. And from the moment she was conceived, she carried us in her hearts. That's how much she loves us. And in her hearts, there is places for each one of us. And she wants to see that we possess everything as she does. So we gotta really constantly ask, even though like there are ups and downs, we go in and out, ask her to help us not to do our will, but always that of God. And with her fiat, you know, she is the mediatrix of all graces. She can make it happen. And before, Mother was talking about the cross. And here, there's a little passage also that Jesus gave to Luisa. And we got to remember first that when he was carrying the cross to Calvary, that when he received the cross, he embraced it with all the tenderness of his love. That's really the most important thing. Like whenever a small or large cross that comes in our way, we don't understand why, but we got to remember that. We got to remember that Jesus embraced it with so much love, with tenderness of all his love for our sake. And he said the cross matures, the divine matures the kingdom of redemption, and it places itself as the custodian of us, and also it takes away from us all the bitter taste that the earth contains, and also all the attachments of creatures, and it turns into sweetness, and it forms Jesus in us. So we gotta praise and thank God for all the goods that the cross will bring forth into our life. And remember that Our Lady is with us.
Yeah, so Our Lady really wants us all to live in the kingdom of the divine will, and it's really important to ask for her intercession every single day to help us to live in the kingdom of the divine will. So from this passage I chose from May 19th, 1938, volume 36, Our Lord talks to Luisa about peace, and this reminded me of what Sister Francesca was saying earlier about how Our Lord wants us to also be in the silence so we can really hear his voice. And not only the silence, but also Jesus wants us to have peace in our hearts. So in this passage from this day, Luisa, for 2 days, she didn't have peace for 2 days, and she was just feeling restless. So Our Lord appeared to her and told her about how important it is to have peace. So these are just little parts from this chapter. So Our Lord tells Luisa, "You must know that peace is the door through which truth enters, the first kiss, the invitation of the creatures disposed to listen, to let it speak. Therefore, if you want me to give you a lot of food, go back to your state of peace." And then I'm going to skip down and then read this other passage about peace. "Peace is the smile of heaven, the source of celestial joys. Look at your Jesus. I am never troubled over any offense they can give me. I can say that my throne is peace. So I want you wholly peaceful, my daughter, because in this mode, too, we had to adapt ourselves and to look alike. Peaceful me, peaceful you.
Otherwise, the kingdom of my will cannot be established in you, since it is a kingdom of peace. So reading this, Jesus is telling us all through Luisa, he wants us to be in peace, because when our mind is not at peace, then we can't hear the voice of God well in our hearts. And I experience this for myself as well. During times or days when I don't feel that much at peace, I can't hear God's voice as well as I can on days when I just when I feel peace and when I'm in the silence. So it's very important to just keep that peace, because the more we are at peace when we read these writings, the more that these truths can permeate into us like milk to our bone.
Yeah, you know, Sister Jacinta, one of the volumes one of the passages that really addresses that, because again, whenever we're doing something for ourselves, there's always a great deal of stress with being able to do the job well, to be able to keep the job. But in volume 11, August 20th, 1913, it's entitled, "One Who Lives in the Divine Will Must Have Trust, Simplicity, and Disinterest in Giving to All. Her life and her work are ended because the divine will consecrates her and transubstantiates her," end quote. So, you know, her work is ended doesn't mean that she quits her job and sits down in an easy chair. No, we're no longer working for ourselves anymore. We're working for our blessed Lord. So everything that he's given us, the gift we can look just at the order. Look at your order right there. Who was a school teacher? Who was aspiring to go to university? Who was a medical professional? Who was a nurse? All that was given up for a greater vocation, which may or may not include the same. But again, we're not doing the work for ourselves anymore. We're doing it for our Lord. And I think that disintegrates most, if not all, of the stress, because it's our Lord's work and our Lord will prevail. Mothers, sisters.
Yes. Hi. I definitely agree. And just finding God's peace in his work and in his acting in us. I was reading from volume 20, September 26th, 1926. And Jesus tells Luisa, "My daughter, the mere word will of God contains an eternal portent, which no one can equal. It is a word that embraces everything, heaven and earth. This fiat contains the creative fount that there is nothing good which cannot come from it. So one who possesses my will by virtue of it acquires by right all goods that this fiat possesses. Therefore, she acquires the right to the likeness of her creator. She acquires the right to divine sanctity, to his goodness, to his love." And I find that just so beautiful, because that's what the will of God is all about, is bringing heaven, bringing Jesus's and the Holy Spirit and God the Father, their sanctity and divinity in just full force. And it is like a font. And I thought about the rain here, about how Jesus's the will of God contains it's eternal. It contains every good, and how kind of like all the raindrops, like that's kind of what living in the divine will is like, experiencing the rain of God's love and his peace and the fruits. And just like Sister Francesca, like so many have said, kind of being receptive and open and surrendering ourselves and forgetting ourselves, we can find more and be aware of, like Lisa talks about awareness and how we can see everything, even little raindrops, as little blessings and kisses from the Lord. And it's just such a beautiful gift to experience and be open and see how he's loving us. And he's just desiring us to live in his love so we can love and share that love with others. It's beautiful.
That was beautiful. Now, I don't recognize the voice. Who is that speaking?
Okay, this is Christine.
Up, you're breaking up a little bit, Mother, again.
She has a beautiful little story to tell. She could tell it about your...
I'm sorry, Mother, you were breaking up for a while, for a moment there. We didn't get the name. Who is speaking?
Christine. She's our new little aspirant.
Christine, where is she from?
Minnesota. You want to tell the story about your mother?
Sure.
Okay, here.
Okay.
Here.
Yes, I'd love to share just a miracle story in my family's life and has impacted just everyone. And I talked to the sisters. They were sharing that they were going to Medjugorje, and Medjugorje is just such a special place. And for me, it's a place of life and love, because my grandmother actually, when my mother was suffering with cancer, she felt called by God to bring my mom to many different Marian apparitions, but specifically in Medjugorje, Our Lady had, she was pregnant with my youngest brother, Mark, and at that time she wasn't sure, if, kind of like Saint Gianamola, if she was gonna make it, but she knew that life and love and sacrificial love was her choice. And so when her and my grandmother were in Medjugorje, my grandmother's name is Anne, and Our Lady appeared to her and asked her if she would be willing to take my mom's cancer for her to live and for my brother to survive as well. And she did. She and so many others and beautiful saints in our Catholic Church, it's just that sacrificial love and just what Our Lady asks of each one of us to just die to ourselves but live for God. And so my grandmother took my mom's cancer, and 2 years later she passed away from cancer. And my mom and my brother are perfectly healthy, and just the miracle that is in my family, because my mom she's the one who kind of brought me into learning about the divine will, and has just been such an example of Mama Mary. And I know she gets up. Yes. Yeah. And so my mom actually didn't know about Our Lady appearing to my grandmother Anne at the time, because I think it was God's providence, just a lot, but she found out later through my uncle, who's a bishop in the United States, and he shared with her about how Our Lady appeared and asked her to take, if she'd be willing to take this cancer. And yeah, it's just really profound about how, I was getting very emotional. My mom shared that with me, because I know that, like, yeah, Mother Mary and Abba, our Father, he's taking care of us, and she's taking care of us, and just having that witness and example. And now I know she's in heaven, and she's taking care of me and interceding for me to be able to be here right now and to just experience living in His will. So, thank you.
What a beautiful story. You know, again, God continues to mesmerize, I guess is a good way to put it. The way He draws us all into Himself. And again, not because he's all full of Himself. He's drawing us into Him because that's where we belong. You know, we read a few weeks ago about, because I received this phone call, it was interesting. Really off the cuff gentleman says, he goes, you know, this divine will is so great. What's in it for God? You know, what's he getting out of this? And actually we read about this, and God explains that it's the paternity of God. God is a paternal father. And like the material and the temporal fathers, you know, if everything is working properly, the father loves the family. The father wishes to receive back the love that he gives to the children. And that's what our blessed Lord in heaven is looking. He's given us all these gifts. He's given us all these things. He's given us each other. And all he's asking for is to be the loving child, to say, thank you, Dad. And Dad, I need protection. Dad, I need help. He wants us to go to him. It's very simple. If you think about it, it's the paternity of God and the most holy Trinity that is, as that gentleman put, what's in it for God? That's what God is looking for. That's his return on investment. But he's given much more than he's expecting to receive back. Mothers, sisters.
God can't help himself because he's all love. He loves us too much not to be able to give as he gives. You know, he's got to. It's like he can't stop himself. You know, I was just reading here. You know, I started talking about living in the divine will and being totally embraced and immersed in the divine will. And wanted to continue on with that. It says it happens to her, someone who's living in the divine will, as to the fish who lives in the sea and who knows it. She feels this divine sea that is her bed, carrying her in the arms of its celestial waters. It feeds her. It makes her consume herself within itself. It amuses and embellishes her. And if she wants to sleep, it forms her bed in its depths, permits nobody to waken her. It even sleeps together with her. Such is the love of my will for the one who lives inside its sea and who knows it, that it does in her all the arts it wants to do. If it wants to think, it thinks in her. If it wants to look, it looks through her eyes. If it wants to speak, it speaks, speaking, keeping her in continuous communication, telling her many of the wonders of our eternal love. If it wants to work, it works. If it wants to walk, it walks. If it wants to love, it loves. My fiat is always busy with her. And she not only recognizes it, but she never leaves it alone. She sinks more and more in its sea because she knows that if she gets out of the sea, she'll lose her life. The creatures that live in our will are our celestial residents. And with their love, they delight in forming the waves of our sea to amuse us and make us happy. And many times when Louisa was concerned about getting out of the divine will, he says, it's impossible for you to get out of the divine will. You're in the middle of the sea. How do you get out? Where do you know? How do you know where to go? You know, you're immersed in this sea. And that's how it is once we get totally and totally in divine will, immersed in it. There's no getting out. And you, it's secure. He gives you the gift to secure and secures it within you, that everything you do, he's doing it within you, without you really even, you know, even asking. It's like you start off your day saying, Lord, I want to do everything. I want you to do everything in and through me. He takes over during the day. You remember that. You just find yourself more and more practicing virtue. The more you do that, the more you die into self, the more you're taking on all of his attributes, all of his virtues, you're becoming more and more like him. And like St. Thomas Aquinas said, you're becoming a little God, a little God. And that's what we all want. That's what we all want. We want to die to ourselves and let him totally live within each one of us.
Mother, thank you for that analogy. You just completed the thought that I've been having the last few weeks. You know, we read about God explaining about as we journey into the divine will, the deeper we go, the more God covers us with himself, where it makes it more and more difficult to sin to the point where we're so suffocated by God in a good way that we're unable to sin. An example you just gave was perfect. As we journey in the divine will, the further out to sea we go. And even if we're left in the middle of the ocean and we're given permission, okay, you can swim back. We can't. Even if we wanted to, we couldn't. That's the saints in heaven. They still have their free will. In essence, they could sin if they wanted to, but they don't want to. They have no reason to. They have everything that they've aspired for. They're in the middle of that ocean. There's really no options. Yet we have all options. That's the just God. That's the loving God. That's the true love. God gives us the options. We can always say no. He doesn't force us. He doesn't make us robust. It's so beautiful. Thank you for that analogy, Mother. You now clarified my simple way of thinking. Sisters?
Well, I guess I don't know if we're coming to an end to close here.
Mother. We've got about a minute.
Well, I just want to encourage everybody, like I always do, do acts and rounds in divine will. Don't stop every day. Do many acts and rounds in divine will. Even though you do that prevenient act in the morning, say your little prayer. You say it simply, Lord, I want you to come and do everything in and through me in your divine will. That's all you have to say. There's all formalized prayers, but you know, you can say it simple if you like and believe it and it happens. And then during the day, just keep recalling that he's doing it within you. Call him into these different acts you're doing throughout the day. Look around you and put your I love you spontaneous on everything you see. And you'll be praying always. It's a way of praying always. You don't have to be in church all day long to pray. You can be going about your busy work all day long and be living in his divine will and being praying continually, never leaving him.
but could see in him everywhere, all around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters. Thanks, God above all. Thank you, Radio Marie, for this opportunity. We're going to end with a quote from Louisa on her, in essence, her deathbed, March 4th, 1947. Quote, "It's my road. It's the road that I prepared for you. It is the road that I will keep reserved for all the souls who will ever want to live in the divine will." End quote. Hopefully that's us. God willing. Love everyone. See you next Thursday.